when intention is spoken about in this teaching, it's often kind of described as three primary threads. And these three primary threads, in a sense, really do address, in a sense, different patterns within our psyches. But, of course, they can never be separated from each other. They are all interwoven. And intention also has a preceding condition, we might say. And the preceding or the forerunning condition of intention is interest. You know, where there is interest, intention and attention pretty much naturally follow. If you can reflect on a time in your life when you first fell in love, there was probably a lot of interest. And then intention came pretty easily, didn't it? You didn't have to sort of tell yourself, I really need to pay attention here, you know. It kind of came pretty easily. We see this in many areas of our life, watching a fascinating film or reading a very interesting book, that where there's the attention, intention and attention follows. But of course, in this teaching then, we're asked to first reflect upon and almost define and highlight what it is that we're truly interested in, which very much speaks to the domain of aspiration. You know, are we really interested in the possibility of awakening? Are we really interested in living a compassionate life? Are we truly interested in developing a mind and a heart that is really rooted in equanimity and stillness? So this is almost like the first kind of primary question in this path. What is the interest that actually brings us here? And I think that's a very deep investigation, actually. You know, because we all know about crisis meditation, don't we? Emergency meditation, you know, like when our worlds are really crumbling and we get that surge of, yes, I really need to practice, you know, I mean, where's the nearest retreat? And then the crisis passes and somehow the motivation and the interest passes too. You know, or if we're in a very, very difficult time inwardly and we have that interest of, I really need to understand this. So I think this path is really an encouragement to come out of emergency, you know, meditation, to actually explore those deeper abiding interest in the genuine transformation of the heart and mind and all that might be entailed in that path. The highs and the lows, the peaks and the valleys. Then there is intention. And here again, intention, as I mentioned, has these three primary strands. The first of these is metta. Thoughts, acts, words of kindness, of friendliness, of befriending. It is the underlying core of all meditative development. And in terms of an insight practice, metta clearly is there to meet that compelling impulse of aversion, the pattern of abandonment, the pattern of disconnection, the pattern of judgment, the pattern of pushing away. So in this sense, mindfulness and metta are so interwoven, that willingness to befriend all events and experiences, rather than departure. The second domain of intentionality is very much concerned with compassion. And compassion is concerned with the fear and the anxiety that pain is often met with. And how often pain is actually met with ownership. You know, my hurting body, my difficult thoughts, you know, my difficult life situation, how often it's met with ownership and also with identification. Compassion has much to do with being able to see suffering as suffering. And that any suffering, and there is no hierarchy in pain, merits compassion far more than it does blame or shame. And this is actually often a very profound inner transformation. To take the I out, to take the your out of the equation, and to say, well, this is painful, this is sad, this is sorrowful, this is grief, this is confusion, this is conflict, this is the judgmental mind arising. This merits compassion because this is suffering. Not about solutions, not about fixing, but about being able to soften some of those more automatic responses of pushing away or blaming or shaming or judging. And the third dimension of intentionality is often translated as the intention of renunciation, a very key factor in liberation, in inner freedom. And this is something certainly that I want to go into in some depth in the talk this afternoon. But on a practical level, this is really about nurturing a non-clinging mind. Nurturing a non-dwelling mind. Nurturing a non-grasping heart. And I'm sure we appreciate the challenge of that, because this is probably one of our more kind of like primal tendencies, we might say, is to stick, is to try and hold, is to cling, even when it's quite, even when we're kind of averse to what is being clung to. Aversion in itself is a kind of clinging. And how we cultivate that non-clinging mind. Much of meditation practice is dedicated to just that. It's dedicated to just that, to cultivating and nurturing the conditions inwardly in which the mind is not prone to grasp. The conditions of calm abiding, the conditions of spaciousness, the conditions of investigation, the conditions of kindness and compassion. These are all conditions that are brought forward, that are consciously cultivated, that allow the non-clinging mind to emerge. This will not be unfamiliar to any of you in your own experience, by the way. We sort of, again, idealize and romanticize the non-clinging mind as somewhere way off there in the horizon, and we kind of imagine we go through our day sort of clinging and grasping every moment. This is absolutely not true. You will probably all have seen moments when you sit and you walk and the mind is kind of, you know, really mired in confusion and agitation and discontent, and a difficult thought arises, and it's that mind is totally prone to cling to that difficulty. It would just take hold. You can have another sitting, another walking, another moment, even just an hour later, where there's a far more of a sense of spaciousness and calm, ease, exactly the same thought, exactly the same memory or image will arise of difficulty, and it just moves right on through. Just like the sounds arise and pass, and what has changed in that is not the contents of experience. What has changed is the climate in which experience is being held and accommodated. So here, you know, in the practice, this is almost like the intentionality of the practice is to really cultivate that heart, to genuinely cultivate that heart and mind, which is not prone to stickiness. We do this very simply, you know. This is not complicated. This is incredibly simple on one level. It's very hard work at times, it takes a lot of effort at times, it takes a lot of remembering, but it's not complex. by being able to cultivate our capacity to remember, to be able to cultivate our capacity to establish mindfulness, establish present moment recollection within the breathing, within the body, within listening, within the arising of thought, we are moment to moment cultivating that non-dwelling attention that is aligned with process rather than governed by the impulse to kind of freeze frame experience. So again,